Welcome to the Jazz Shapers podcast from Mishkon Dorea. What you're about to hear was originally broadcast on Jazz FM. However, the music has been cut due to rights issues.
This is Jazz Shapers with Elliot Moss on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkon Dorea. It's business, but it's personal. Listening colour.
Welcome to Jazz Shapers with me, Elliot Moss, bringing the shapers of the business world together with the musicians shaping jazz, soul and blues. My guest today is Matthew Jones, founder of Bread Ahead, the artisan bakery and baking school. Growing up in the kitchen with his mum's enthusiasm to teach Matthew to bake, he left school, age 15, without any qualifications, but with a single focus. He was going to be a chef. Honing his craft in the Michelin world of the 80s and the 90s with some of the best chefs in the UK in what was, as Matthew says, a raw, quite aggressive environment. We'll be getting into that. He opened Flower Power City Bakery in 1999, growing the successful wholesale business over 12 years before selling. Keen to expand his business concept to include retail and education, Matthew launched Bread Ahead in 2013 in the renowned Borough Market, one of my favourite places in the world, with the bakery school teaching baking and pastry skills to established bakers and a new generation of enthusiasts. With further Bread Ahead bakeries and schools across London, they've also expanded into the Middle East with an international bakery and school in Jeddah and Dubai and plans for many more. Hello and nice to have you here, Matthew.
Hey, Elliot. Lovely to be here. Nice to meet you.
Why did you want to be a chef? What happened?
Gosh, I think I was a very industrious child, and I was always, you know, I love being busy with my hands. So I was always in the kitchen at home. And my mum's a good cook, always was, still is. And I think I just sort of, you know, just love food and cooking. I mean, back in the, you know, the 70s and 80s when I grew up, you know, the UK food scene was quite different than it is right now. It was
barren.
Yeah, a barren landscape.
It was.
You know, we had frozen mini pizzas and pot noodles and a bachelor's cup of soup. And
ice magic, when you squish it on the ice cream and it froze. How can we forget ice magic?
Yeah. I mean, it was all those, that was kind of a Saturday night thing, wasn't it? Yeah. And we've moved on a long way.
And you leaving school, going off to find your way in the world, talk to me about the feelings of being a chef at the beginning and being in kitchens, a very high profile kitchens and head chefs. What was that like?
Yeah, well, I was very fortunate. So I was looking for an apprenticeship place, and I sent many letters out in London to the usual suspects, the Brit, the Connaught and all of that at the time. They weren't doing apprenticeships. So I kind of stumbled upon YTS, a youth training scheme, and I did a YTS course. I was lucky. I got a good placement in a restaurant called Thackeray's House, which is down in Tunbridge Wells, which was really one of the restaurants at the time. It was in the Good Food Guide, and it was way ahead of its time. You know, it was doing all the sort of classic stuff, proper homemade terrines, all the fish came in whole, the pheasants came in whole, you had to pluck them and gut them. So I learned all of that. We made puff pastry, we made bread from scratch, and it was just the most amazing, immersive education in that restaurant for 2 years of my life. And at that kind of pivotal stage for me, being 16, 17, when I kind, you know, when the boy becomes a man, really. And I think it just really got ingrained deep in me. I fell in love with it.
As you were talking, I was just looking at your eyes, which is a strange thing to say, but that's what I do, Matthew. And I kind of thought, he's gone back there. You were just almost visualizing it. It strikes me, and you use the word immersive. Yeah. Was it very, very visceral? Was it one of those things that you don't, it's like often people's lives and the work they do, it doesn't touch them emotionally. They kind of do it, and it's a bit rote, and that's the tough thing. All of us look for things that really touch our soul. But was it really, did it hit you every day? That feeling?
As soon as I, you know, I left school, and I wasn't an academic. I just left school. I didn't have any O-levels, and I wanted to be a chef. I wanted to do my thing, you know, and I found it in the kitchens and cooking. And I think I just, yeah, it was, I was all in, you know, I just went all in. And I think, you know, when you look at anybody who's gone to the top of a career, there is no half measure. You're either in or you're out. And I was just in there. You know, I loved it. I used to go into work on my days off. I used to clean things. I would always stay behind. I was always early. I gave 100% of myself to my career.
Matthew Jones is my business shaper. He's the founder of Bread Ahead, but he was also the founder of another business, which I want to talk about for a moment, Flower Power City Bakery. I want to ask you a question though before we jump into that, which is around being someone who loves cooking, seeing someone who is a fabulous chef, and then making that a commercial endeavor. There's one thing working in someone's kitchen and enjoying the craft, and there's another thing actually pivoting into, okay, I'm going to run my own thing. What made you move from the making to the creating the business?
Well, I always had it in me, I think, to be self-employed. I was, even when I was a chef, I used to have sort of part-time jobs. I used to do cooking in people's homes. I was doing private chef work. And I was always looking for opportunities. You know, I just had that kind of mind. And my career, I started off in the main kitchen as a chef, but I kind of migrated into pastry and then baking, I think largely because nobody else wanted to do it. I was kind of, I just could. I had this sort of natural ability to make great pastry.
You talked before, and before we get onto the pastry thing, about the work that you did on your days off. You talked about the cleaning. You talked about all that. The graft, the hard work, has that been a big part of why you think you've been successful?
Yeah, it's everything. I mean, it's the commitment to, you know, because it's just hard. I think, you know, running a bakery business or a restaurant business is just, it's a horrible, really, it's hard work.
You're saying it's horrible. It's really tough. It's brutal. And it's incredibly intense, I imagine, because so many things are happening at once.
Yeah, it's a sort of a problem that's never going to be solved. You know, you've got to do that job, you know, be it making creme brulees or flipping steaks or, you know, rolling baguettes. You've got to do that for the rest of your life. So enjoy it. And I think one of the things that's, you know, really important about going into a career, a chosen career at a young age, is you learn the craft, so you almost forget you're doing it. And it becomes a sort of an autopilot thing. I mean, I can go into the bakery now, roll 1,000 croissants, and my mind is kind of somewhere else.
I was going to absolutely ask you about how meditative this thing is.
Yeah.
Because it's so, you have to be so in it. So where is your mind when you're doing it?
I'm planning. My perfect day is, not that I'm doing it right now, but perfect day in the bakery is arrive at 5 a.m., be the first one in, because I love it. I love the sort of clarity of having an empty space, get into production, get sort of three jobs on. Croissants viennoiserie is a lovely thing to do because it is a meditative process.
And just describe that process for me, for people that don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you're in a temperature controlled room. You are essentially working in a fridge. doesn't sound very appealing, but I love it. It's peace and quiet. You can have the radio on in the background. You can roll batches. So you do 1,000 croissants, you do them in batches of 250, and you can just roll them by hand. I can do 13 in 1 minute is my kind of pace. It's a bit like
13.
Yeah, I can roll 13 croissants in a minute, which is pretty quick, really. Hand rolled. And I love the pace of it. And I just enjoy it. And I can allow my mind to sort of drift away to what I'm doing for the rest of the day, to, you know, bit business planning, maybe a bit product development, and think things through. And, you know, a couple of hours of that in the morning really sets me up.
So it's not tiring?
No. I mean, I think I keep myself in good shape. I go to the gym every day and I don't feel tired. Actually, I think I feel more awake after baking than I do before it.
Have you always been very structured, Matthew?
In work, yes. Yeah. Funny thing that, really, because I often say, you know, my work really has been like the pillar of my life because I guess like many people, you know, I'm in my 50s now, I'll be 55 next month. And, you know, I've had a few little bumps in the road, as it, you know, but the one constant.
The wise smile.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, and there'll be listeners out there who will go, yeah, I know, Matthew. But the one constant in my life has been work. And I always show up on time. I'm always there first. I'm always committed. I always finish the job. And it's that part of it I always got from the very first day I walked into a kitchen. It's just you look the chef in the eye, you shake his hand, it's yes, chef. You know, we're here, we're committed, we're going to do this. You know, there is no half measure. You've just got to be there and make it happen.
Stay with me for much more from my excellent business shaper today. It's Matthew Jones. He'll be back in a couple of minutes. Right now, we're going to hear a taster from the Michigan Innovation Series, which you can find on all the major podcast platforms. Lydia Kellett invites business founders to share their industry insights and practical advice for those of you thinking about getting into an industry and starting your very own thing. In this clip, we hear from Tarek Ralph, architect and founder and CEO of Catalog, a digital work hub aiming to give people a radically simpler way to coordinate work.
The Mishcon Innovation Series. Inspiration from founders of cutting-edge businesses. In association with Jazz Shapers, with Mishcon Dereya.
I think founding your own business has a lot to do with understanding what you're looking to do in founding a business. Like, why do you do it? Betting on yourself and acquiring all the skills necessary to build a team, build a product, market it, raise the capital. It can be quite a lot of friction, but it can also be quite a lot of fun. And if you know why you're doing it, it gets a lot easier. I've always been interested in making and building things, which is where I got into architecture, which is where I've been making software. And so a large parts of my job don't feel like a job. The parts that, you know, running a company is still, there's a million friction points every day. There's friction with customers, there's friction with product, there's friction with all kinds of, you know, unforeseen issues that pop up every now and then. But when you find joy in the act of building, which is what I do, it just becomes a necessary pain on the side effect. And so knowing why you're building a company, why you want to start a business and what you're looking to get out of it, and having clarity around that generally helps quite a bit.
The Mishcon Innovation Series. In association with Jazz Shapers, with Mishcon Dereya.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishcon Dereya. It's business, but it's personal.
You can enjoy all our former Business Shapers on the Jazz Shapers podcast, and you can hear this very program again if you'd like to. Just pop Jazz Shapers into your podcast platform of choice. My guest there is Matthew Jones, founder of Bread Ahead, the artisan bakery and baking school. I promise I want to talk about the Flower Power City Bakery. That was a just over 10-year chapter of your life. Did you learn a lot?
Wow. I mean, yeah. Flower Power was, I was a younger guy. You know, I was 29 years old. I was previously working at Mezzo. So it was a Sir Terence Conran's restaurant in the late 90s. I worked for Sir Terence for 8 years in the various in Bibendum, in Le Pont de la Tour. So that was my, you know, a long-term part of my career. And I left Mezzo to open my own business on a wing and a prayer. I mean, it was chaos. It was scary. It was, I mean, just about everything that I could imagine really wrapped up into a bundle of nightmares, really. And I made it work.
Did you?
You know, yeah. I mean, I was a really different guy.
How did you make it work?
Just brute force. You know, I could bake. I knew how to bake. I knew nothing about VAT returns or business or computers or anything, but I knew how to bake. And I took by luck, really, I found a disused bakery on Hoxton Street, in the rough end of Hoxton Street. This was 1999. I mean, it was a different landscape up there, and just got going and started supplying people like Neil's Yard Dairy. And at the time, there were restaurants in London. There was a Bleeding Heart restaurant. There was Whole Foods were actually at the time called Wild Oats. This was way back. And I built a business. We started doing farmers markets in London. And that was right at the beginning of Borough Market, 1999, when it was just like four times a year.
Mm.
And it was a really different version of Borough Market than you'll see today. It was, you know,
it's been slightly corporatized, Borough Market. Now, it's still great. I love it, but it's different even from 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah. It's been, I mean, you've still got the old guard there who are really people like, you've got Monmouth, you've got Turnips, you've got Ginger Pig.
Ginger Pig's great.
Know,
those
Farm.
Sausage rolls.
Yeah, a lot of family businesses there, you know, that have really stuck to their guns and just really focused on prime ingredients and food experiences, you know. So these amazing one-off hits like a ginger pig sausage roll, you'll travel across London for that thing.
Yeah.
It's epic.
It is epic, especially after a run. Often I go for a run there and then destroy any good things I've done on the 10K to get to Borough Market on Sunday morning.
Those are very much our sort of customer. We're after those kind of guys who are, you know, they want experiential food and they will make a journey, a detour for that creme brulee donut as we do.
I'd written down creme brulee donut. I mean, I just looked at it and went, you've got to be kidding. I need a creme brulee donut probably right now.
Oh,
where does that even come from, that smashing together in that environment, that idea?
So, a bit of a hybrid. So we launched the donuts from pretty much day one of the business in Bread Ahead, and we just smashed it from day one. They were a a runaway product. And we, for years, the classic vanilla was our top seller. And then just a bit of messing around in the bakery, we had a branding iron and we just put some sugar on top of one and we just burnt it. And we kind of invented the creme brulee donut. And it just happened. And it's just flown. It's our biggest seller. We sell thousands of them. I mean, it is daily. It is just become a viral, you know, Instagram and blah, blah, blah. It's become a viral product online.
I wanted to swipe the creme brulee donut, but you got there first, which is fine because you made them and I didn't, but I'm going to eat one. But I want to just finish off the flower power thing. You talked about VAT returns, the computers, all that stuff. Despite not knowing anything about business, you created a successful business. Many people go, how did you do that? How did you do that, Matthew?
It was brute force. I mean, I just attacked it, you know, and I just threw myself at it in every single way I could until it worked.
But did you have people, did you get people involved who knew what they were doing on those things?
No, and I probably should have done sooner. I employed a bookkeeper after being open about 6 months. Which then took a further 6 months to sort everything out. I just used to do everything myself. I used to bake everything. I was the delivery driver. I was the cleaner, the everything. And it was, I mean, I don't know if I'd have the strength to do that again in my life.
Do you miss that, though, that excitement?
I'm glad I did it. And it was just a crazy time in my life, really. And I think, yeah, I was pretty chaotic, really. And I think I kind of emerged out of that chef scene and just, you know, so I often look back at the world I was immersed in. I was this young kid, 15, 16 years old, left school, and it was just that world of drinking and adults and just behaving badly. And it was just work and the pub, and that's all we did. And that stayed with me for a big part of my life. And I carried that into my world at Flower Power when I was a sort of a younger guy, really. And it nearly broke me. I mean, it was really, you know, what I did to myself. You know, it was just, yeah, just drinking, working. It was chaos. But somehow I made it work.
But then that kind of chaos stopped, did it?
That stopped abruptly. 15 years ago, actually. I mean, I kind of just changed my outlook on life. I stopped drinking. that was a big one.
Yeah. Completely.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice cups of tea now, all day long, please.
With or without sugar, sir?
Without.
Okay, sugar-free. Just checking. How much milk? Oat milk or just regular milk?
Oh, no, regular milk.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. Little cloud in there. English breakfast tea.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. I like that as well. But that's it. Joking aside, that clarity of the, okay, that was chaos. That could have killed me. I now move on to the new thing. Is Bread Ahead a totally different story?
It's a different animal. Yeah. And I am. I'm a different person. You know, I really grew up, you know. I mean, one of the things that I think really was a real game changer for me was at the end of Flower Power, I took an investor on, Luke Johnson. That was the first time I'd been exposed to working with a proper business person, let's say. And I know he's a pretty controversial character. He's been, you know, but to be honest, I take my hat off to the guy. You know, he's been a phenomenal, successful entrepreneur. You know, look at Gales, look at what he's done. It's been an incredible success. And, you know, I often reflect on that. I think when I grew up in the UK, we had nothing like that. You know, it was just, we had local bakeries and they were dreadful. And, you know, when you see these companies like Gales who have emerged, they've got great coffee, they've got great croissant, and they've done so much for the industry. I mean, we're quite a different business than that. A big part of our USB really is teaching. So we teach 20,000 people a year through our courses. And we are smaller, much smaller as a brand. We've got 6 London locations. We've got international as well that we're building considerably. But I quite like the size of the business it is right now. I can get around it every day myself. I know all the staff. We've got 180 people. And it's it feels very comfortable as a size of business.
Suits you.
Yeah, it does. I like it. I really like where it is.
Stay with me for my final chat with Matthew Jones, my business shape. And we've got some black keys for you too. That's in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkondorea. It's business, but it's personal.
Matthew Jones is my business shaper for a little while longer. Not long enough for me to zip out and go and get a creme brulee donut, but that's next time, Matthew. When you talk about, and I'm pleased you talked about the teaching, because the teaching is an interesting adjunct to what you do. I feel like I'm talking to someone with missionary zeal, sort of an evangelical person, but it happens to be about the world of baking and the food. And it's in your eyes as well. You're very intense about the thing. And I think I heard an interview with you where you said, it's an honour. It's an honour to be a baker. Mm. Is that very much still the way you feel about life?
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. I mean, I love what I do. I'm so fortunate. Even, you know, after all these years of working in the industry, I look forward to going to work every day. Love it. I look forward to it. It's a pleasure to take cinnamon buns out of the oven. It's lovely to roll croissants. It's great to make sourdough bread and to, you know, to teach people. We do a lot of work with local schools down at Borough Market and in our big site in Wembley, and have all these school kids in, and they just, you know, you see them transformed. They're just, you know, suddenly you can find people's creativity and you can tap into it and you can take them from start to finish of a product. And the gratification people get from that is, there's nothing like it. You know, it's, we want really, well, I want people to just fall in love with baking and food.
Mm. And within all of the things you do, and you talked about the size of the business being just right for you and not wanting to be a kind of a Gales with hundreds or however many, you know, cafes they have. When are you at your happiest? Is it when you're teaching? Is it when you're helping, as in people outside the business? Is it when you're overseeing the actual, you know, other people cooking? Is it when you're preparing? Which bit really buzzes you?
I think showing people around the business is really nice now because it's something to be really proud of. I mean, something happened recently in the business, which was a real moment, actually. And a couple of the older guys who work for my age, their children have started to come to work in the business. And I remember years ago, somebody saying to me, when your staff's children come to work in your business, you know you've done something right. And that was, and I realized it, and I saw it, and it's happening naturally. And that's almost generational now. We've been around for, you know, many, you know, more than 10 years. And to see that transition kind of happening, that really meant a lot.
It's been great talking to you, Matthew. Thank you. Thank you for your time. Mm. And thanks for bringing the look of intensity to your thing. I can't imagine, if I ever asked you, what else would you have done with your life? I just don't even know what you'd say.
At one stage, I wanted to be a hairdresser when I was at school, and I probably would have been good at it. But, you know, I discovered baking, and it's now my thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Fills the room.
Mm, yeah.
Just before I let you disappear to go do more baking, what's your song choice and why have you chosen it?
Oh, I think we've got Nancy Sinatra, Sugartown. She's got a great vibe. I could play it all day long in the bakery.
Nancy Sinatra there with Sugartown, the song choice of my business shaper today, Matthew Jones. He talked about the hospitality business as a problem that is never going to be solved. So you may as well enjoy it, he said. He talked about work being the key pillar in his life. And that makes perfect sense when you think about the intensity and the commitment that he has brought to what he does. And finally, a really interesting thought about when he's actually in the moment, when he's cooking, when he's preparing, he almost goes on autopilot. It's almost meditative and it enables him to think about all sorts of other stuff at the same time. Really interesting. That's it from me and Jazz Shapers. Have a lovely weekend.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkondareya. It's business, but it's personal.
We hope you enjoy that edition of Jazz Shapers. You'll find hundreds more guests available for you to listen to in our archive. To find out more, just search Jazz Shapers in iTunes or your favourite podcast platform, or head over to mishkon.com/Jazz Shapers.